Well, there's four words that are the same in the NIV and the ESV, and they're the first four words, I love the Lord. And those are the most important ones. And so they have that in common, and we're going to be talking about loving the Lord today in the sermon. It's a wonderful feeling as a pastor to be given a word like that from God. Many times, you know, you feel like, oh, wow, I have to present this really heavy kind of a sermon today, and you're thinking, oh, God, help me, you know, to do that. Today, I feel, you know, it's not easier. It's just a blessing, you know, to be able to talk about these words, and I want to just let all of you know that you are recipients of this word, and you can also share this message with other people. Maybe not my words, but the love of loving the Lord. Certainly all of you here can show that and say that to someone or point it out in the Bible to someone who is in need of love. There's a lot of love missing in our world, right? There's more emphases on things that are the opposite of love. And in fact, I remember a song by Judy Collins that spoke about it's a hard time for lovers. It's a hard time for lovers because the times are hard. That was, you know, 40 years ago or more, 50 years ago when she wrote that song. But it talks about all the challenges to love. But actually, we want to change that based on what God teaches us in his word to say, yes, it is a hard time for lovers. It is a hard time for love in our world. But God has the answer for that. God has the answer for that. It's not to say give up because it's a hard time, but to bring God's love into these situations in our lives and into the world, because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And so that is the message of God's love to us. When we look at the first nine verses of this psalm, and I wrote this morning in the devotional, it begins by the psalmist saying, I love the Lord. Now, this is a really good lesson for us because love is, we are to love the Lord, and it's good to say, I love the Lord, right? To be able to say that as your main theme in life, I love the Lord. But then why do we love him? And then the psalmist goes and says, because he's heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. And as we go through this psalm in these nine verses, we can see the gospel. It was written hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth, but it is the gospel, purely the gospel here. I was in trouble. I cried out to the Lord in my sin. He heard my voice and he saved me. Amen? That is the gospel. That God comes and saves us from our sins. And that is what he's saying. He inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. That means he has me. I know now. There's a change in me. As a Christian, I am now going to follow him for as long as I live. And I will call on him as long as I live. I will pray to him as long as I live. He's my go-to. I go to him. Right? There's people in my life that I can certainly turn to because I know that I can trust them. But God has put those people in my life, but I go to him. Right? I was sharing yesterday at CEF. There was a training yesterday, and I gave a devotional. And I began it by talking about prayer and the importance of prayer. And I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys, but I'll mention it again in case I didn't. But I told them that I was experiencing a lot of pain in my back. We were on vacation, you know, and we were happy to be together as a family, everything like that. But, you know, I was really in a lot of pain. I never had that kind of pain before in my back, and it was spreading. And it just got worse and worse. And I didn't know what to do, so we tried all kinds of different things. You know, there was things you could put on it, ointment, things like that. And then my son also gave me a massage, and that was really helpful. but the pain remained. And so finally, in exasperation, I just turned to Lee Chun and I said, would you just pray for me? And it was really, really helpful. It was actually a good reason for having that pain, to be brought to that point, to just tell my wife, and I never asked her for that before. I don't think I've ever asked her, can you please pray for me? Which shows you my reluctance to go to God and to call upon him in that kind of a way. But it's very, very good when we ask someone to pray for us. I highly recommend it, because you are admitting to them that their prayers are going to help in that situation. And we sometimes need to have others pray for us. And it's not a bad thing to do that. So ask someone to pray. You could ask me, you know, to pray for you. Please pray for me. You know, I'm going through this. I have a test at school. You know, it could be anything. All these things that are important to you. Something going on. Put out a line and say, I need prayer for this in my life. You can ask your spouse. You can ask your children. You can ask anybody, just pray for me. I'm going through something. Don't hold it in. Anyway, so we go back here, and he says, I will call on him as long as I live. That means that God's love, right, and God's hearing his plea for mercy and the saving of my sin in my life, God responded to him, and he knew that he was forgiven, right? That's what happens when we're newborn, right? The snares of death encompassed me, and that's the gospel, that we die in sin, right? The pangs of Sheol lay hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. Lord, I am a sinner. Deliver my soul. Amen? So here it is in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, for us loud and clear today. I love the Lord because I was dead in sin. I was going to die forevermore. And he came and heard my call in my distress, and I was saved. But it comes to that point. You need to come to that point where you recognize coming to God and asking him to forgive you. Lord, I know that my sin is heavy upon me. Forgive me of my sin. Help me here in my situation. And God says, I will. And he does. He sent his son Jesus to save us. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. God is merciful. That is his response. God is gracious and righteous and merciful. He preserves the simple. He saves them and he preserves their lives. When I was brought low, he saved me. When I was deep in my sin, when I was low and my sin was heavy upon my shoulders, God came and saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. We can rest in peace forever, knowing that we are saved, that we have eternal life because Jesus Christ died and rose again. That is the gospel of God. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Heaven, heaven, heaven is before us. Heaven is ours because we believe in Jesus Christ. We repent of our sins. He forgives us of our sins, and we live for him, saved in his grace, and we walk among the living forevermore. That is the eternity that is spoken of in the gospel, forevermore. And so it always comes back to this. Loving the Lord is understanding that he has saved us from our sin. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. I've been reading some books by Charles Colson again, rereading them recently. And he's a man who was put into prison for his involvement with Watergate. Many of you are too young to remember Watergate, but it was a time in our country where there was a lot of trouble and the government was doing things that they shouldn't have done, and he was one of them. But as a result of the time that he went through, that he went through and he was put into prison, he became a Christian. He called out to God, and God heard his voice and saved him. And he began to live for God, and his life really began there. But time and time again, he mentions people that he met, right? that were saved in that way. And there were people that he worked with in prisons. He went into prisons because he was in prison and he knew the destitution and the hopelessness in prisons. And so he was called by God to start prison fellowship. And it's still going today very strongly, where they come into the prisons and they teach the word of God to the prisoners. And they give them those things. And he said, you know, when you go into a prison and you see the difference between those who have not received Christ into their lives and those who have, there's a vast, vast difference. Right? Because the ones who have been saved from their sins know that despite the fact that they have committed crimes, God loves them and has forgiven them of their sins. And so their souls are freed, and they worship God in that kind of a way. We're going to hear a story from one of his books in just a little while. But that is really the crux of it. And now Brother Alfred was also reading some verses to us that I want to review as we look at the love of God and what it means to love the Lord. Right? I love the Lord because I cried out and he heard my cry and he saved me. The first one, of course, we already heard, 1 John 4:19, we love him because he loved us. But I believe this is really the most important one there, is to recognize that we are able to love God because he loves us. He loves us. That is why we are responding in love. We can't have that kind of love unless God loves us. And then the one that Alfred wrote, read, John 14:15, if you love me, obey my commandments. Right, so there is a connection there with obedience, to do what God says to do, to follow him, right, to do what Jesus said in terms of many different areas of our lives. His commandment, the greatest one, is to love God and to love one another, right, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to practice this love that he gives to us. And so we love God by loving other people, and that is what we want to do. We want to love them with the love of God so that they will know God. There was another commandment to love our enemies, right? To love our enemies, to think about those people and to think of how it's going to mean, what it's going to mean to love them. Right? You can think of someone, perhaps God is touching your heart, the Holy Spirit is touching your heart when you hear that today, that I have someone in my life who I consider an enemy, that I spend some of my time actually demeaning and speaking down toward and having conversations that have nothing to do with love when we're talking about people. And that doesn't fit in with Jesus and his love for us and the love that he showed toward us, because really we were the enemies of God in our sins. And when we commit sins, right, they're against him. And so we are the enemies of God, but he shows love toward us and forgives us of our sins and releases us, and we are no longer enemies of God. We are children of God. We are followers of Jesus. We are the ones who practice and teach the things that he wanted us to do. Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And so if we love the Lord Jesus, then we are to love his sheep, those who are in his flock, right? The people in his flock. We are to love one another. We are to take care of them. Jesus knew that he was going to be leaving. He would be returning to heaven. He would send the Holy Spirit upon his people. They would be filled with the Holy Spirit in a powerful way, but it was in order to continue on the love of Christ in the world, so that they would be his people, witnesses, disciples, carrying on this loving people and telling them, you know, I have this friend from a church down in East Piscataway, And I came to know him through singing a while ago. He was taking some voice lessons, and I developed a friendship with him as well. But he was a construction worker. He was actually a manager. You know, he had a construction company, so he went around and built homes and different things. And so I would say that he was, you know, not the kind of person I would think of as saying, I love you, okay? Because, I mean, he's working, and he's got tough work to do, and, you know, and just his demeanor and everything, you know, you would think that way. But I recently was corresponding with him in an email. I had some questions for him about building and those kind of things. And so at the end, we had come to the end of our emails on a certain subject, and so I found myself writing love you at the end. And I was thinking, now how, I don't want to weird him out. I don't want to make him feel strange. But I did it anyway, and I'm glad that I did, because I do love him. Now, why do I love him? Because Jesus first loved me. And we need to talk, we need to think about that more and more. I could say, you know, I really do love this person, and it's a feeling that I have, and we grow closer to people as we appreciate them more and more. But it was the Holy Spirit that really told me to love him. It wasn't me. It wasn't anything to do with me. I really believe that. It's not my powers at all. It's only the grace of God that is in work in me that enables me to be able to say that towards someone. And man, it is a great feeling to have. To be able to say something like that. You don't have to say, I love you. I mean, I've done that too. But to just say, love you. And at first you kind of, you know, it's like the little grandkid, you know, learning to say, I love you to his grandfather. It's like, love you. and you don't really want it because you're thinking, okay, well, saying I love you, maybe it's going to sound kind of weak, or, you know, maybe it's going to make me look like I'm weak in some way. But actually, you know, the sense of it is the very powerful thing. But we're not used to saying that, okay? We need to be teaching people to say the words. And the best way to teach is by saying it yourself. Maybe a baby is not used to saying that, those words, but even saying it very softly like that is a great effect on people. But it's not the only way. You don't just say, I love you, but you show it. And that's what Jesus is saying to Peter. He said, you have to feed my sheep. You need to put this love into action. So there is a part of love that is to be acted upon and shown to people to really prove the point and to help people who are in need. And that's what the Bible teaches us in Matthew 25. You know this section where Jesus was teaching, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. And these are things that we really, as a church, need to take very, very seriously. We need to, yes, we do need to say we love one another. Yes, we do have to show one another that we love one another. But we also have to do what Jesus just spelled out here if we want to say that we are loving the Lord. It goes along with what Peter learned from Jesus. I forgive you for what you've done, Peter, and I know that you love me, but now I'm asking you to go out and show my love to people. Take care of my sheep. Take care of my lambs. And that's what we need to do, is we need to take a moment now and think, am I doing that? Am I really taking that to heart? Am I purposefully and really strategically in my life forming and creating ways for myself to be able to show the love of God toward people? And God will help you to be able to find those ways. He has it in mind. He has plans for you. And he takes you just the way you are, so you don't have to be me, and I don't have to be you. You are you, yourself, and God. And you ask him, Lord, show me what I can do to love people, and he will show you. He will show you what you need to do. Right? So just to review these things again. I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat, so we need to feed the hungry. There are people starving in this world. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. We don't show compassion when we don't do those things. Right? So we have to review that and go through this, you know, in our lives and really take to heart what Jesus is teaching. To be able to love him, then we need to take these to heart. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. Right? So this hospitality in a world where people are saying, guard what we have, keep others out. Let's just, you know, it's important that we just, you know, take care of ourselves. I'm sorry, that goes against the gospel. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. It goes completely against the gospel. And so that's what I'm saying. We have to fight. It's a hard time for love in this world because so many people are saying, mine, my opinion, my way of doing things, respect me, do things the way I want to do it. I'm my own person. I can do all these things. And God is saying, no, that's not the way I intended it. He's saying, you are to love other people. You are to extend that love to people that are not loved, that are feeling down and out. Look at your situation. You know that you have more than enough that you need. You have more abundance than most people in this world have, so use it for the glory of God. Show me that you love me. That is going to make a difference. And it will change you. It will change you. It's not just like it's going to remain this hard thing to do. Through that experience of helping other people, inviting them in, taking care of their needs, feeding sheep, right? That is going to be changing us and making us more like Christ, and it's going to make a difference in our lives for the good. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me, right? If I look in my closet, you know, I have so many different things to wear. I don't even have enough days in the week to wear all the clothes that I have, right? So I can give to some poor, can't I? And maybe just resist the temptation to go and buy another one that I really don't need. Right? These kind of things are, you know, you can also think of things yourselves. I was sick and in prison and you didn't look after me. That's what Chuck Colson did. He was in prison. He knew how lost these guys and girls were. And they needed somebody. And they are forgotten for the most part. Right? They are forgotten for the most part. They feel like they've been forgotten. And that's what Chuck Colson wrote. He said he interacts with these people and they say, nobody cares about me. Right? And so if we hear that and we know that, then we need to do something about it. And it's very easy to do that. And so I'd like to just share a couple things with you. This story comes from a book called Loving God. I thought of this a couple days ago, and I was thinking, well, let me look at this book again. It's a great book by Chuck Colson. And it's not like it sounds. It's not like when you open it and you start hearing all of this loving kind of talk. It's actually tough love. It's ones where we're putting into practice what Jesus said, right? That we need to repent of our sins, and we need to accept Jesus as our Savior. We need to receive him in. We need to follow him. We need to obey him, right? By loving others, loving our enemies, all these different things come through. Living a holy life, wanting to live as Jesus wants us to live instead of doing that bad thing that we return to. We say, no, Lord, that's enough. I don't want that anymore because that's not loving you. So I need to stop that sin in my life. I need to start thinking, you know, about that and think, okay, now it's time to stop. You forgave me. You do forgive me. And now I'm going to move on from that. And so all those things. But another aspect of it is loving God by serving him. And Chuck Colson gave a really powerful example of how he learned this part of the book called Loving God. And it has to do with a woman whose name was Murdy Howell. Murdy Howell, okay? So what happened is that he has this prison fellowship, right? And it was in many, many prisons throughout the nation. Well, one day they received a letter and they became associated with this woman, Murdy Howell. And she was writing and saying, I want to write to prisoners. Okay, I want to write them. I want to be like a pen pal with prisoners. And then as time went on, she actually became aware of Chuck Colson and his ministry, and she said, I want you to oversee my funeral. And he wrote her back, and he was like, I don't even know you, and you're still alive. You know, it's kind of awkward talking about being, you know, overseeing your funeral right now. But she was very persistent, and she said, no, you don't understand. I really have a great appreciation of what you have done for me. And it's an interesting story. So this is what happened. She was 91 years old, or in her 90s, when she was writing him and beginning this prison ministry to write people in prison. And what happened is that she went through great tragedy in her life. She lost all the people most close to her. She said that she felt like Job, that everything just crashed down on her, right? And she was old, and she moved into this nursing home where all the people just sat there staring at a screen, up a television screen, or fell asleep watching the television screen. And she was in her room, and she really felt like, Lord, just take me home. My life is over. You know, I'm ready to go. You know, this is it. And she really was convinced that God was going to take her home. And then something wonderful happened in her life. God heard her prayer. She cried out to him, and she said these words. Write to prisoners. Write to prisoners. That was the command from God. And that was when she thought she was going to be called home. And she was doing, you know, she was basically, you know, old, and she felt like, you know, I've gone through so much, it's over, God is going to take me home now. And he said, write to prisoners, and it came from nowhere. I mean, she had never thought about it ever. It was the furthest thing from her mind, and he said, I want you to do that. And so she took it to heart, and she wrote a letter to a prison. She found out an address of, she lived in Georgia, and she wrote a prison, just addressed to the prison. And inside, she said, I would like to write letters to prisoners. Can you put me in touch with some of them? Right? Because God said, write to prisoners. And so they returned her letter. The chaplain got a hold of it. And he wrote back to her, and he gave her a few names that she could contact. And she wrote them, and they wrote her back. And they called her Grandmother Howell. Grandmother Howell, right? And they established this connection that way, and then it grew from there, and she found out through them that they were taking courses with Prison Fellowship, and so she contacted the people at Prison Fellowship, and she asked them to send her names as well, and that's how the whole thing was started, right? That's how the whole prison ministry started, like that. And, I mean, for her, this prison ministry. And so she established that, and she felt grateful to Chuck Colson because he had helped her. And he was saying, thank you for your involvement in our ministry and in the fellowship and writing these men. And she said, no, I thank you because God has given me new life. He has given me purpose. When I felt like everything was gone and everything was over for me, I was losing my health, I lost all my family members, everything was gone, and she was just in her room alone feeling like nobody cared about her, and God came into her life. I called out to him, and he answered me. Amen? And what did God do? Say, I love you. Feel better? I want you to just know that. No, he said, write the prisoners. Feed my sheep. Feed my flock. Feed my lambs. Exactly what Jesus said. Go to the prisoners in prison who have no one, who think they have no one. And she became someone who cared to them. Let me read you one of the things that one of the inmates wrote to her. Dear grandmother, this was from a woman named Janice. I received your letter, and it made me sad when you wrote that you think you may not be alive much longer. I thought that I would wait and come to see you, and then I would tell you all that you have meant to me. But now I've changed my mind. I'm going to tell you now. You've given me all the love and concern and care that I've missed for years, and my whole outlook on life has changed. You've made me realize that life is worth living and that it's not all bad. You claim it's all God's doing, but I think you deserve the credit. I didn't think I was capable of feeling love for anyone again, but now I love you as my very own precious grandmother. Now I love you as my own precious grandmother. Right? And Chuck Colson could have chosen any number of people to write about as an example of what loving the Lord means, and he chose this woman, a woman who is 91, living in a dirty, forgotten, ugly place, a nursing home where many people were sitting there in front of the TV and thinking life is over. And he came into her room, and he answered her cry, and he said, write the prisoners. They need to know about me. They need to know about love. They need to know that they are loved. They need to know the truth about Jesus. They need to know. They need to know that they're not alone. And that's what she did. And that's what God is asking us to do. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, right the prisoners. If you love me, invite the homeless in. If you love me, feed the hungry. If you love me, give something to drink to the thirsty. If you love me, truly do this. Show me that you love me. So the Lord also calls us into these things for a reason. I believe, you know, we're so lucky today, if I want to say lucky, to come today to know that God is calling us into something so beautiful, to be able to not only say that I love someone, but to show it to people that really need it. And I think that they don't have any love. And there are many people around like that. And that's what God has sent us to be, his love in the world, to go into places and to let them know. Right? There was a nursing home. I used to go around to nursing homes too, because my own mother was in one. But one of the ones that our church used to go to was down in our area in Edison, and there were Chinese people living there, so our church went there and we ministered to the Chinese-speaking people there. And we could also go there. It's a far drive, but there are people there that need to be ministered to, that God would let them know that they are loved. Right? Some of you know the place that I'm talking about. But the church of God is not to remain in the church and just say we love you and that we love God. We are to go and show it. And it's going to take time. It's going to take our energies. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take saying no to some other things in our lives. Amen? We just have to do that. That's what God does by showing us these examples. We're not just to say, wow, that's a wonderful example. We're supposed to take it to heart and then say, Lord, that is an amazing story. Please talk to me about my life and how I can do those things. I gave you something in your bulletins that I hope will be helpful for you. I've been doing a book study with a friend of mine, and this book, God Works All Things Together for Your Good by Robert Morgan, is a pretty good book. There was a chapter addressed for those who love God. The whole book is about Romans 8:28, talking about God, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And he gives a test that he said, you know, you may want to consider this. My friend who read the book with me actually helped me, because he said, this week I meditated on these 6 points, asking myself these questions: do I really love God? If you don't have one, you can raise your hand. Someone can give you a bulletin. If you look at it, we'll go through the list just briefly. The first one, have I committed my life to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? That is the way that we show love to God. That is the way we love God, by giving our lives to Him, committing our life to Jesus as our Savior and Lord. He loved, and so we love. Number two is, do I obey His word in my daily life? Right, that's what we were talking about. Am I obedient in the way that I live my life to what God wants me to do? Number three, do I enjoy worshiping Him? Right, do I enjoy worshiping Him? Do I really feel like that is something that I want to express to God in some way, shape, or form in my life? The church, at home, do I enjoy worshiping Him? Number four, is my lifestyle holy? Right? These are things that are very good reminders for us. Is my lifestyle holy? I show my love for the Lord by wanting to live a holy life, one that is free from any of the things that I've been doing before. And then number five, do I radiate His joy? Do I radiate His joy? You know, the next time we feel, you know, some way that is the opposite of joy, we can remind ourselves, we are meant to radiate His joy. If I love the Lord, then I am going to radiate His joy around me, and I'm going to let people know that I'm a joyful Christian. I may be going through some troubles, but man, God is true to His word to help me and to be there for me, and I love the Lord. Do I radiate His joy? This woman we just read about radiated His joy into the prisons through letters to them. She never met these people, but she radiated His joy, and they felt loved. And number six, how much do I really like other people? How much do I really like other people? And that kind of goes in with the idea of loving our enemies. Right? How much do I? It's one thing the Lord says to say that you love your family member or your friends, but it really doesn't show love in the way that God wants us to. We are to really, truly show our love by loving our enemies. And there are different ways that God can help us to do that. If we ask Him, Lord, help me to love my enemies. Help me, Lord, to, instead of putting them down or complaining about them or criticizing them, how can I be the joy? How can I show that joy by really liking other people? Right? There's others that you can write yourself. And this is not a perfect list, but it gives us a really good idea of what I think this woman in the story was doing, right? And so we're thankful to God that He's given us this scripture today so that we can know the gospel. If you haven't given your life fully to Christ today, perhaps today is the day, and you can say to Him, Lord, come into my life. I want to follow You. I know that I've been doing things wrong, but now I understand that love is so important, and the only way that I'll understand love in my life is by receiving the love that You gave to me on the cross. And I want to live for You. I want to be resurrected, and I want to walk in the land of the living all the days of my life. I want to worship You with joy all of my life into heaven. I want to dedicate myself to You. And you know what I learned most through this? That God can take anybody at any age and use them. He determines our end. He determines our days. You can never say, after reading this story about this woman who's a 91-year-old woman living alone in this little tiny room, that she is that we can ever give up, even though we get older, right? God uses us, and He comes to us, and we're never alone. Even when we're alone in the room, we're never alone. God comes into those rooms. He comes into prison cells. He comes into everybody's heart. He loves you. He loves you. He loves me. What a great God. So let us thank God today for showing us how we can love Him more. Amen. Let's sing a song that expresses this.